From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
Well, we're actually calling it a mobile guide or a mobile travel guide at this time. While it may have the look and feel and act like an app, it's really a web-based product, so it not only conforms to a smartphone perfectly, but it also is visible on laptops and tablets and desktops as well. And as far as the information from the original Green Book, there are a couple of sites included in the mobile travel guide that were in the original Green Book. One of those is in Colombia, I believe. But most of these we picked up from what the tourism industry in South Carolina has been aware of and promoting all along. So we already had the information as far as the descriptions goes of the historical sites, churches, markers, things like that.
Strauss Moore Scheipo, Project Director with the South Carolina's Old English District. The Green Book of South Carolina is the first mobile web travel guide to African-American cultural sites across South Carolina, created by the South Carolina African-American Heritage Commission to offer residents and visitors from around the world a user-friendly guide to discovering and celebrating enriching cultural experiences from across the state of South Carolina. Founded in 1993 and housed within the South Carolina Department of Archives and History, the South Carolina African American Heritage Commission works to identify and promote the preservation of historic sites, structures, building, and culture of the African American experience in South Carolina. The purpose of the guide is to increase awareness of the state's African American tourism destinations and encourage travelers to become immersed in the compelling story of African Americans in South Carolina. I'm Johnny O. Henson, Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, The Green Book of South Carolina, a travel guide to South Carolina African-American cultural sites in Black America.
You asked about the original Green Book, and one of the sites where there's overlap between the original Green Book from the 1930s and the Green Book of South Carolina is Atlantic Beach, which is a really interesting place. It's near Myrtle Beach. It's between Myrtle Beach and North Myrtle Beach. And this was in the days of Jim Crow. This was a rather unique place on the whole East Coast of the United States where African Americans bought land and business people and homeowners came and built their businesses and hotels and motels and entertainment venues and beach cottages and so forth. It was a black beach enclave on the East Coast that was visited by all the greats in the entertainment industry, and African American families from around the Southeast would come and vacation at Atlantic Beach. So that's one of the sites that we're particularly proud of.
Dr. Louis Ventures, Professor of African and American History, Francis Marion University. The Green Book of South Carolina Mobile Travel Guide showcases attractions and sites for a diverse audience, allowing travelers to plan their ultimate customized itineraries across South Carolina by quickly researching through categories such as historic districts, markers, churches, and more to find the destination that most suits their interests. With an interface similar to that of tourism apps, the guide features detailed listing with descriptions, images, categories, and map points designed with the mobile smartphone or tablet user in mind. The Green Book of South Carolina includes sites and attractions from every county in South Carolina. Research indicates that 75% of African Americans in this country have ancestral connections to the state, and the Green Book of South Carolina provides a tool through which these roots can be appreciated and celebrated by diverse audiences across the nation and the world. In Black America recently spoke with Strauss Moore Scheipel, Project Director with South Carolina's Old English District, and Louis Ventures, Professor of African and American History at Francis Marion University.
The original Green Book was a travel guide that was first published in the 1930s. So during the days of Jim Crow, African Americans who needed or wanted to travel needed to know where they could go and be safe. So it was a guide for gas stations, hotels, motels, guest houses of various kinds, and entertainment options where African American travelers around the country, not just in the Deep South, could know that they would find safe harbor. And so our mobile travel guide that we're producing today is in homage to that travel guide from an earlier era.
And who came up with the idea for the mobile guide?
It's a project of the South Carolina African American Heritage Commission, and something that we've that members of the commission have been thinking about and talking about and working towards for many years. And finally, all the pieces have come together.
Give us a thumbnail history of the commission. Strauss?
Yes, sir. The commission, the South Carolina African American Heritage Commission, was created in 1993 as a council. And then later on, Governor Hodges made it a commission under the South Carolina Archives and History Department of the state. So we've been in existence since 1993 as the commission.
And how many members make up the commission in terms of service?
Well, it varies at times. I think roughly the commission memberships is based on the congressional districts that make up the state of South Carolina. So we can have probably, I think ideally it's three from each congressional district, but at times there may be a little less. And then there are some at-large members as well, or non-voting members also. So it just depends at the time.
I assume that this is a state project. So how did you all convince the state that this was going to be a worthwhile project?
Well, actually, it was something a former director, a former chairman of the commission's idea. He has been talking about tourism for as long as I've been on the commission, and I think I came in 2010. Mm-hmm. It was just a project that we wanted to, that he thought the population, the historical sites and cultural events and sites in South Carolina, the ones related to African American history, was being underserved. And so this project will speak to that need. Generally, people know about the Charlestons and the Myrtle Beach, but there are many off the beaten path sites of historical significance, not only to African American residents in the state, but to the traveling public, that this project, the Green Book of South Carolina, will help get out into the public eye.
How did you all go about transferring that information from the Green Book to a mobile application? I'm quite sure somebody had to actually go out there and actually photograph whatever site that they're writing a description upon.
Well, we're actually calling it a mobile guide or a mobile travel guide. At this time, while it may have the look and feel and act like an app, it's really a web-based product.
Okay.
So it not only conforms to a smartphone perfectly, but it also is visible on laptops and tablets and desktops as well. And as far as the information from the original Green Book, there are a couple of sites included in the mobile travel guide that were in the original Green Book. One of those is in Columbia, I believe. But most of these we picked up from what the tourism industry in South Carolina has been aware of and promoting all along. So we already had the information as far as the descriptions goes of the historical sites, churches, markers, things like that. But we just had to tweak them a little bit to fit this guide. And also we have pictures because the state of South Carolina is divided into tourism regions, and I represent one of them. And so we're already tasked with marketing the state as a whole, and certainly the African American travel part or segment of that is a major for us. So we have been developing guides and collecting data and material all along. But this project, the Green Book of South Carolina, brings it all into one place, where a visitor, a potential visitor, a traveler from wherever will have everything at their disposal in this one project. And that was something we didn't have before. As I said, each segment or tourism region might have had what they knew about in their particular area of concern, but this project puts it all in one place.
And I would just add that, thank you, the commission has been working to identify and promote and protect African-American historic sites for decades. In terms of the research and building the database of historic sites and cultural sites, we did have a lot of that information already at our disposal. And so this isn't so much reinventing the wheel, doing a whole lot of new research, but it's putting a new product easily into the hands of South Carolina residents and also visitors from around the country and around the world.
I understand there are 350 sites that are initially a part of this guide.
I think we've done some additional editing, and so we're not right at 300. We're over 300, and there'll be more that will be added the commission will be able to add additional sites over the next few years. This will be a website that's alive and able to change and grow. We do have more than 300 now.
Tell us about some of the spotlighted attractions that you all want to definitely visitors to check out once they come to South Carolina.
You asked about the original Green Book, and one of the sites where there's overlap between the original Green Book from the 1930s and the Green Book of South Carolina is Atlantic Beach, which is a really interesting place. It's near Myrtle Beach. It's between Myrtle Beach and North Myrtle Beach. And this was in the days of Jim Crow. This was a rather unique place on the whole East Coast of the United States where African Americans bought land and business people and homeowners came in and built their businesses and hotels and motels and entertainment venues and beach cottages and so forth. It was a black beach enclave on the East Coast that was visited by all the greats in the entertainment industry, and African-American families from around the Southeast would come and vacation at Atlantic Beach. So that's one of the sites that we're particularly proud of.
And we are spotlighting 7, including Atlantic Beach, and 6 others for this rollout coming shortly. And they include sites such as Man Simmons Site in downtown Columbia, which the only thing that remains there now is the one building. But it was in the same African-American family from 1843 till 1970. So that property is one of those 7. And certainly historic Brattonsville, which is up in McConnell, South Carolina, just south of Rock Hill.
That's your neck of the woods, isn't it?
Yes, it's in the Old English District. Thank you. It is a 775-acre Revolutionary War site, but it also, there with live interpretations and other things, are the interaction between the enslaved on the plantation and the slave owners. As a matter of fact, my mother... last name was Bratton before she married my dad. So we believe that we are descendants from historic Brattonsville. My family does. But also the Penn Center, certainly, which is down in the South Carolina Sea Islands, is one of those sites. Red Cliff Plantation in Beach Island over towards the western part of the state of South Carolina. So for those attractions, we will be tracking their attendance. We're using the numbers they had before this mobile guide launched, and we will be tracking their attendance for the next year to sort of gauge the impact that this project has had on these 7 sites.
How long has this process taken thus far?
We began, I think, in July of last year, and so now it's March, and we expect to launch in April. So a little over 6 months, 8-9 months. We have really been working. The commission has done the lion's share of the work to get this project ready and launch in that time frame. over two-thirds of what has been done probably has been done by commission members. And I need to add that all of us commission members are volunteers, so to speak. We give of our time, our service, in addition to all the other things that we have going on. So it's really been a large project for us to take on, but with the assistance of our PR firm and website guys and some others, we have made it work, but it's something that we think is very, very important and much needed, and we think it will serve as a great travel tool for years to come.
Tell me about some of the historic schools and HBCUs in the state.
Oh, how much time do you have? There are so many, and there's really a richness of buildings that are still here on the landscape. So we have in the Green Book of South Carolina, there maybe one way of thinking about it is there's two kinds of sites. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of historical markers that are going to be included in the Green Book of South Carolina. And so sometimes when you go to a historical marker, there's a building, there's something on the landscape to see, sometimes not. But a lot of the schools that have been historically associated with African Americans still remain. Some of them have been put to different use today. One is Butler School in Hartsville in the PD section of the state. It was founded very early in the 20th century, moved a couple of locations, and then among many others, it was, you could say, a casualty of the desegregation of the state's public schools. But alumni of Butler School banded together and purchased the building, and now it's a vibrant community center. There's, of course, South Carolina State University. There are public and private schools across the state that visitors will be able to come and see and learn about.
I also was impressed. You said 75% of African Americans in this country have some type of ancestral connection with South Carolina.
Well, you know, during the colonial period and up to the early Republic, Charleston was the single largest slave port in British North America. And so it shouldn't come as a surprise that if 40%, we think, of African Americans arrived on these shores through the port of Charleston, that then through the internal slave trade, and then, of course, coming up into the 20th century with the great migration of black people out of the South and into the rest of the country, that most African Americans, wherever they live in the country, if they search their family history, a piece of that family tree at least will come back to South Carolina.
I'm not a great lover of plantation, but I see you all have Ratcliffe Plantation in Thoroughbred County. Why is this included in the guide?
Well, we aren't either necessarily, but we think it's important to tell the story of the interaction between the slave owners or the landowners and the enslaved population, hopefully so that to tell the true story, not sugarcoating it, but to have an authentic story, have authentic dialogue. And if we can see that back then in those people, perhaps it helps us with our dialogue today with one another and people of different colors. But we think it's important that our story be told too. And as much as we dislike the concept, the idea of plantation, but that is a part of our history in this country. And so we hope that if we can tell it our way, this way, it's an authentic story, it's a real story, and it helps us understand who we are and help others understand who we are and where we have come from. So therefore, we do think it's important to highlight those sites as well as some of the others.
If I could just add to that, plantations, I think, in our cultural memory are, of course, rightly associated with slavery. But, you know, p- part of the story in South Carolina that's quite compelling is what happens after slavery. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, in the area where I live, in Florence, and my university, Francis Marion University, was a working farm from the early 19th century. One of the locations that'll be in the Green Book of South Carolina is the slave dwellings that are on my university's property. Descendants of some of the same families lived in those same cabins for decades after emancipation. Another site just around the corner is the Mount Zion Rosenwald School, where children from those families were educated. Another site just down the road is Jamestown, where a former slave managed to raise the funds to buy land. He didn't want his children to be beholden to anybody else. And then he left that land to his sons and son-in-law. And then with some other families, they enlarged that property. And by the 1940s, there were 250 people living in this rural agricultural community where African Americans had their own school, their own churches, and were to the extent possible in the Jim Crow system, in charge of their own lives. So I think we ought to think of the plantation as a site that, yes, goes back to the colonial period and certainly tells the story of slavery, but we also have to tell the stories that come afterwards. African Americans within the constraints of their society, making community, making family, and making lives for themselves and their children.
May I add something else to that?
Yes, ma'am.
I had said earlier that my mother is a descendant of the Brattonsville Plantation. And annually over there is a program called By the Sweat of Our Brows, the African American Experience. And that program is generated, run, staffed by the descendants of the enslaved who were at historic Brattonsville. So that tells the story not only back then, but it brings it into modern day time by actual blood. The bloodline is continued, and you can see that. So, and I think as what Dr. Venter said, where you see that community was created and we survived. We continue to proliferate, to propagate. And that is seen in this event by the sweat of our brows. So it's important for us to tell that story. We couldn't tell it if we didn't have the plantation still there as well, I think. So it helps us with the current day, present day descendants of the enslaved.
Strauss, I want to ask this. Mobile guide also assists in tourism for the state. How do you see this playing out in the long term as far as getting tourism dollars into South Carolina?
Well, and I think I alluded to this earlier, because of the platform, because it is not only on smartphones. Mm-hmm. It is also accessible on computers and laptops and such at the website, greenbookofsouthcarolina.com. I think it's accessible to anybody in the world who has a connection or an interest in African American history and sites in South Carolina. So I see this is just the beginning of that $22 billion tourism industry in the state. And so I see that this is going to help grow the tourism industry here. Plus, it's also going to help the story of the African Americans' contribution to this state be made known. As far as it would help bring that 75% back, they would have another reason, a compelling reason, an emotional reason, I think, if you will, to come back, and this will make it easier to do so because they will understand and know that their contributions or the contributions of their ancestors are finally being recognized by the state tourism industry, the number one industry in this state.
Is there a GPS component to this guide yet?
There is. We are in each listing. There are descriptions, photos, tags, and a way to pinpoint the actual location of the site. We make all that readily available for anybody who can access it. And even more so, there are other tags. So if you're specifically interested in, say, military history, you can search that and it will bring up all the sites on the guide that have something to do with military history in South Carolina. So we think it's something every traveler, every potential visitor will be able to use to find his or her way around the African American historical sites in South Carolina.
Dr. Ventures, I wanted you had alluded to the historically schools and HBCUs, but how would this assist elementary, junior high, and high school students in get a better understanding of African American history and culture in the state?
Well, so that actually gives me a chance to tell a little bit more about the work of the South Carolina African American Heritage Commission over the years, because this is kind of the latest step in a number of efforts that we've made to produce, for example, teachers' guides to African American historic sites in South Carolina, and then most recently, an arts-infused curriculum that ties these historic sites to the state standards in social studies and enables teachers to do do various kinds of projects with the arts and these historic sites. So this is putting another tool in the hands of teachers, parents, and young people themselves to find out what are the sites that are closest to them, or, for example, you know, we're going to be coming to South Carolina, or we're going to be traveling to the other side of the state for a family reunion this Memorial Day, and so what are the other things that we can do while we're there? So I'll be interested to see how much of it is driven by parents wanting other things to do, but how about some of these young people finding it themselves and finding these sites themselves and asking mom and daddy where to take them to someplace new.
I assume this particular mobile guide is the first that actually encompasses an entire state?
That is our understanding. South Carolina is one of two states with a state African American Heritage Commission.
Dr. Lewis Ventures, Professor of African and American History, Francis Marion University. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at inblackamerica@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Remember to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O. Hansen, Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.